from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text number 38. Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna trees. Vani guna nakatane shavano katayam. Hastau chakar masuvana stavapadayona. Smrityam sirastavanivasa jagat praname. Dristi satam darsane astu bhavatananum. Vani gunanu katane sarvano katayam. Hastau chakar masumanastava padayonaha. Smrityam sirastava nivasa jagat praname. Dristi satam darsane astu bhavatanunam. Vani gunanu katanes sravano katayam. Hasto chakarma sumanastava padayonaha. Smrityam sirastava nivasa jagat praname. Dristi satam darsane astu bhavatanunam. Please recite. Dristi satam Avanivasa jagat praname. Isti satan darsane astu bhavatanuna. Vani. Vaishnavis?
Dristi satanda sane astu bhavatanunam. Vani gunan katane. Astu. Vani gunanu katane shavano katayam. Hasto chakama sumanasta vapadayona. Smityam sirasta vanivasa jagat praname.
Anyone else? Okay, word to word meaning. Vani, words. The power of speech. Guna anuka tane. Always engaged in talking about your pastimes. Shavano, the ear, or oral reception. Katayam, in talks about you and your pastimes. Hasto, hands and legs, and other senses. Cha, also. Karmasu, engaging them in executing your mission. Mana, the mind. Tava, your. Padayo, of your lotus feet. Na, our. Smrityam, in remembrance, always engaged in meditation. Sira, the head. Tava, your. Nivasa jagat praname, because you are all pervading, you are everything, and our head should bow down, not looking for enjoyment. Dristi, the power of sight. Satam, of the Vaishnavas. Darsane, in seeing. Astu, let all of them be engaged in this way. Bhavatanunam, who are none different from you. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Henceforward, may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are none different from you. Purport. Here the process of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given. This process is bhakti. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Hirishikena, hirishkesha, sevanam, bhaktir, uchyate. Everything, the mind, the body, and all the sense organs should be engaged in Krishna's service. This is to be learned from expert devotees like Narad, Swayambhu and Sambhu. This is the process. We cannot manufacture our own way of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For it is not that everything one manufactures or concocts will lead to understanding God. Such a proposition, yathamat tathapat, is foolish, Krishna says. Bhaktyaham ekaya graya, only by executing the activities of bhakti can one understand me. That is from Bhagavatam 11:14, text number 21. This is called anukulyena krishnanusilanam, remaining engaged favorably in the service of the Lord. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyadi Pastatata Satarine Om Gyanam Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Manohabishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Pradati Swapadantikam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Before I start speaking, I would like to seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas, Prabhupada disciples, sitting, so I can be able to speak something on the science of Krishna consciousness for the benefit of myself and for all of us trying to practice in the path of devotional service under Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So before I start speaking more on the essence of the purport, I pulled up a very nice verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving instructions. Does anyone know it is chapter 20? It's chapter 22. Chapter 22, Madhya Lila, it is about devotional service. And Lord Chaitanya is giving instructions on the science of devotional service to who? Does anyone know? Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes, Prabhu. I'm sorry? No, it is Sanatan Goswami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving very important instructions in Madhya Lila, chapter 22, to Sanatan Goswami. And text number 86 goes by Satam Prasangan Mama Viryasam Vido Bhavanti Hirta Karnara Sayana Kanta Taj Jo Sanat Asu Apavaga Vartamani Shradaratir Bhaktir Anu Kramisyati. The spiritually powerful message of Godhead can be properly discussed only in the society of devotees, and it is greatly pleasing to hear in that association. If one hears from devotees, the way of transcendental experience quickly opens, and gradually one attains firm faith that in due course develops into attraction and devotion. So I just wanted to read this very important instruction given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the purport, obviously we know that both Nalakuvar and Manigriv are offering these prayers to the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna. And as you can see, the translation is that, henceforward may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears get engaged in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms, and may your eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are none different from you. We know that in the Bhagavatam, there is a very great Vaishnava devotee who followed all the nine processes. Does anyone know who is that great personality? I'm sorry? Prahlad Maharaj? Did you say Prahlad? Who did you say? Ambarish, yes, Ambarish Maharaj, thank you. Yes, it is Ambarish Maharaj. So, in the same chapter, text number 137 to 139, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies the qualities of Ambarish Maharaj on how he engaged all his senses, just like what Nalakuver and Managriv are trying to do in the service of Lord, the Supreme Personality of Lord Krishna. So I wanted to also read that because it is in line with the with what Prabhupada is trying to say here and also in the translation. As we know that Ambarish Maharaj did not engage one of his senses, Prabhupada mentions that out of the 9 processes of devotional service, Statam Isharanam Kirtanam, devotees can practice only one. And if they do it rightly, they can go back home, back to Godhead. He very clearly states this in his purpose. However, Ambarish Maharaj was able to do all the 9. And I will just read the translation. Maharaj Ambarish always engaged his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his hands in cleansing and washing the Lord's temple, his ears in hearing topics about the Supreme Lord, his eyes in seeing the deity of Lord Krishna in the temple, his body in embracing Vaishnavas or touching their lotus feet, his nostrils in smelling the aroma of the tulsi leaves offered to Krishna's lotus feet, his tongue in tasting food offered to Krishna, his legs in going to places of pilgrimage like Vrindavan and Mathura, or to the Lord's temple, his head in touching the lotus feet of the Lord and offering him obeisances, and his desires in serving the Lord faithfully. In this way, Maharaj Ambarish engaged his senses in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, he awakened his dormant loving propensity for the Lord's service. So, since we are following in the footsteps of great Vaishnavas, the example of Ambarish Maharaj is very important for us. Bhaktivinod Thakur, I'll come back onto the deliverance of Nala Kuvar and Manigriv. Bhaktivinod Thakur, one of our greatest acharyas, has actually written about the killing of all demons and what it represents. So, does anyone know what the killing of Nala Kuvar and Manigriv, or releasing them from their bondage, represents? Yes, Prabhu. not really. Prabhupada says something different in his. Does anyone know what the killing of Nala Kuvar, apart from Archita Prabhu? Yes. 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 So Bhaktivinod Thakur says that the deliverance of Nala Kuvar and Manigriv represent in our lives false ego or pride of being born in a wealthy family. So, it is representing false ego and pride in us. And Srila Prabhupada mentions in his purports that when we are proud, it can be anything. Because we may associate and say, oh, I'm not born in a wealthy family, so I'm not in that category. But Srila Prabhupada says that the concept of being proud can be anything. I can be proud that I am very knowledgeable, or I can be very proud that I'm very beautiful. So any kind of pride is the representation of the deliverance of Nala Kuvar and Manigriv. And Srila Prabhupada mentions, that's why in this age of Kali, Sudra should not be given money. Because when they are given money, they use it for what? Intoxication and womanization. So Srila Prabhupada very clearly says about that we all know that we are not even Sudras, we are even below Sudras, you know, fourth class Sudras. So even Sudras, Prabhupada mentions very clearly, should not be given the money, because what they do with the money is womanization and intoxication, which were the activities of Nala Kuvar and Manigriv. Because they had a lot of pride, because they were able to go to Kailash Dham, the abode of Lord Shiva, and be able to engage in his Dham in such activities. And what were they engaging in? As we know, they were engaging in womanization, intoxication, which are the symptoms of the Sudras of this age. If you go to just across the street on Culver, and you go to most of the restaurants at night, especially on the weekends, they are packed. What are people doing in the name of socialization. They are drinking, indulging in senses, and obviously womanizing. But it's done in a professional way. But that is the what we call, just like we are associating here and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, they are associating to engage their senses, and so that becomes their platform. So that's why we should be very careful of this. And towards that, as we know that Prabhupada has mentioned this before in Bhagavad Gita especially, he says very clearly, adharma bibhavat krishna pradusyanti kula striya strisu dustasu varshneya jayate vanna sankara. Vanna sankara. That when religion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted. And from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. And this is very important, because when we have unwanted progeny, they are not able to understand the science of God. Because the environment they come, that they are coming from, is not conducive to spiritual life. So, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the 9 processes that we are all aware of as devotees: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Archanam, Mandandam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma Nivedanam. I wanted to speak a bit more on these 9. What do they entail? And how this apply to our day-to-day lives in practice in devotional service. So Shravanam, as we know, is hearing. Kirtanam is chanting. Vishnu Smaranam is remembering. Pada Sevanam is serving. Archanam is worship of the deity. Vandanam is praying. Dasyam is carrying out orders. Satyam is serving as a friend. And Atma Nivedanam is sacrificing everything for the Lord. So, when we say Dasyam, carrying out orders, who do we carry out orders under? You know, that is very important, because we are meant to be carrying out orders as Dasyam. So, who do we carry the orders under? Does anyone in... Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj. So, Prabhupada is very clear on that. That in ISKCON, we have to follow... Obviously, we follow Srila Prabhupada, and then we follow the gurus and the temple authorities. So, Dasyam is a very important function of the 9 processes of devotional service. And in addition, obviously, Atma Nivedanam means sacrificing everything for the Lord. So what are we sacrificing? We are sacrificing the propensity to serve our senses and instead engage the senses in the service of the Lord. So that is our Atma Nivedanam. Our Atma Nivedanam is that we are ready to sacrifice serving our senses to serve the senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is our Atma Nivedanam. So, although each process appears distinct, when one is situated on the absolute platform, he can see they are identical. And this is the 9 processes of devotional service that Srila Prabhupada comments on. The devotee is expected to accept all 9 processes of devotional service, but even if only one process is properly executed, he can still attain the highest position of Paramahansa. And that's why earlier in the class I was mentioning that if we were to execute one of them with full love and devotion, Srila Prabhupada mentions, we will go back home, back to Godhead. But in the case of great Mahajans like Ambarish Maharaj, he was able to do all the 9 at the same time. So Srila Prabhupada then continues to say that if he can, obviously he reaches the highest position of Paramahansa and can go back home, back to Godhead. Now I remember some time ago, Archita Prabhu was giving class here, and Archita Prabhu was very clear about if we take the purpose of Srila Prabhupada Shastra. Obviously, we take the translations, you know, as Shastra, but do we take each and every word of the purport from Srila Prabhupada Shastra? And this is a very important thing, because when we read Srila Prabhupada's purports, in Srila Prabhupada's purports is all the essence. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us the surety that if we do any one of these 9 processes of devotional service, either Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, whatever, we will go back home, back to Godhead. Do we have trust in the words of Srila Prabhupada? This is very critical, because trust or Shraddha in Sanskrit is the basis of everything. If you do not have belief in what you're doing, you will not progress. Your progress will be checked. So it is very important that when we surrender onto the instructions of the spiritual master, we take his word as our life and soul, just like Srila Prabhupada did. He took the words of his spiritual master as his life and soul. And we are not deviated from that path. Because we have embarked on this process, we need to finish it. So a lot of us, you know, when we come into devotional service, we say, oh, I'm already a devotee. Baba, you have only started devotional service. Where have you finished it? It takes lifetimes. So if we have started the process, how serious are we on this path? That is the question we should ask introspectively within our own realm. And I was then Srila Prabhupada mentions that Krishna is in everyone's heart as Chaita Guru. So being in everyone's heart as Chaita Guru, he is guiding us as the Chaita Guru in the heart. And Krishna already mentions many times, but one of the stresses he gives is on the association, association, association. So towards this, Krishna says, Krishna bhakti janma mula hai sadhu sangha, Krishna prema janma teno puna mukhya anga. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. The root cause of devotional service to Lord Krishna is association with advanced devotees. Even one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is very clearly instructed that even when one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, association with devotees is still most essential. And that is why we have the 3 categories of devotees, Kanishtha Adhikaris, Madhyam Adhikaris, and Uttam Adhikaris, neophyte stage, middle stage, and advanced stage. What are the symptoms? Rup Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu very clearly gives the symptoms of the 3 categories of devotees. And today when I was asking Archita Prabhu, he gave me a very clear point that if you are not able to distinguish between these 3 categories, we are automatically in the neophyte stage of devotional service. Because we need to know the 3 levels of devotees also when we are associated. So what do we do with the Uttam Adhikaris? Obviously from the Uttam Adhikaris we take instructions. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it says that we need to have association of devotees. So from the Uttam Adhikaris we take instructions. And with devotees who are at the same level with us, we have peer-to-peer relationships. We have relationships at one level, and that can also be seen in any sphere of life. That generally when we associate with people, we associate with people of like-mindedness. That's why they say that birds of the same flock fly together. There's a saying in English. Why do they fly together? What it in essence it says is that when you have a particular type of consciousness, you associate accordingly. If you're more geared towards sense enjoyment, then you associate in bars and pubs and discotheques. But if you are more on the saintly platform, then you associate with like-minded saintly persons. And then obviously with the Kanishtha neophyte, we give them association. We give them association. So it is very important to understand this, because in our own societies, you know, we interact with devotees practically every moment. And we may find one devotee at one level, one devotee at another level. So we should not be discouraged if someone is not following proper Vaishnava Siddhant. Because we should always remember, like Prabhupada said, we have mango trees, not all mangoes are sweet on that tree. It's one tree, but they're not all sweet. We have all come to a school. This is a school. Krishna consciousness is actually a school. We have all come here, but we have come with different backgrounds, different anarthas, different conditionings. So when we are coming to the school, we are not going to be at the same level. It's just like in a class. Like my daughter is in third grade right now. She just did her state exam, prep exam. And I could realize that even at third grade, although they are all in third grade, they are not at the same level. So what makes us different, that when we are in this society, we are not at different levels? That is why it is very important for us to take instructions from senior devotees and progress. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada says, Kanishtha believes in Krishna consciousness is very good, but may not know the basis of pure Krishna consciousness or how to become a perfect devotee. So the Kanishtha Adhikari does not know how to become a perfect devotee. So what does he need? He needs association. He needs instructions. But what does the Kanishtha Adhikari also need to do? He should accept instructions. How is that done? The Prabhupada is very clear. Tad vidhi prani patena prari prasnena seva. In a humble state of mind. Not in a challenging mood. And must render service submissively. So this is very critical to our devotional life. That instructions are accepted in what mood? How is our attitude meant to be? How are we meant to approach senior Vaishnavas? This is very important for us. And then Srila Prabhupada continues to mention that sometimes in the heart of a neophyte, there is attraction for karma, jnana or yoga. Why? Because they are still at the neophyte stage. They have not become fixed. So the other aspects that are apart from devotional service, which we know is jnana, yoga, karma, can come into your minds. That's why it's very important for us to transgress from one stage to the other in our devotional life. Because if you stay at one stage, then our dormant Krishna consciousness has been reawakened, but you have just become dormant at that stage. You're not ready to move on. And this is an impediment to our progress. So that's why it is very important for us to keep on associating, taking instructions, rendering service and moving on. And so Srila Prabhupada mentions, when he's free and transcendental to mixed devotional activity, he becomes Madhyam Adhikari. So to become Madhyam Adhikari, to come to the next stage, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when he does not have any mixed devotional activity, what we call Karma Misra Bhakti. And our bhakti is there, but it is not at the level of spontaneous. Obviously, we are not nowhere near spontaneous, because we are following the regulated Vedic Bhakti Marg. We are following the Vedic Bhakti Marg. We are following the process of devotional service. We are not spontaneously there. So when we are following the process, it is very important that we do not have mixed devotional. Because when we have that mixed, we don't move to Madhyam Adhikari. And then what does Prabhupada say? When he becomes expert in logic and refer to the shastras and shastric evidences, he becomes first class, Uttam Adhikari. Now, devotees are also described as positive, comparative and superlative in terms of their love and attachment for Krishna. So, one of the other things Srila Prabhupada cautions a lot is that in the neophyte stage, we should avoid association with non-devotees, because association with non-devotees can result in us falling down very quickly. So, we know that in the Bhagavad Gita, there is one shloka, it's about 700 verses. Out of 700 verses, there is one verse that Lord Krishna speaks almost twice. Does anyone know the Chatur Shloka? What is the Chatur Shloka? What is the instruction? Yes, Baba. Yeah, man mana mav mad bhakto. Is that the one you're referring to? Madhyaji mam namaskuru mam evyasi saktante pratijani priyasmi me. That is the key instruction that we should know. Man mava mad bhakto. Always remember me. How do we remember him? He also says that. Man mana mad bhakto madhyaji mam. Always remember me. Always serve me. Pay homage to me. He's giving very clear instructions. Serve me. We serve through the via medium of the spiritual master. And out of the 64 principles of regulative devotional service given to us in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami, the last five are very important. Does anyone know what are the last five? Oh, Maharaj, definitely. Yes, Maharaj. Yes, Maharaj. Yes. Thank you, Maharaj. These are the most five. These are the five critical which Maharaj knows by heart. How many of us know the five last instructions on Vedic Bhakti by heart? Thank you, Maharaj. So we have to introspectively always ask ourselves. We are following devotional service, yet we do not know the 64 principles. Obviously, no one knows all the 64. But we don't know even the five essence of what Vedic Bhakti is about. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22, clearly emphasizes the importance of these last five. Because they are the essence of us moving ahead in devotional life. And we know that Lord Krishna, imagine this scenario. Lord Krishna is delivering Nalakuvar and Manigriva, but he's still been bound. Remember that Lord Krishna is not free. He's still been bound by ropes and he's pulling a cart. But he's been bound by what? The Lord who delivers everyone is been bound. He's been bound by the ropes of love of the gopis. The Lord who delivers everyone, he has been bound and he's struggling. He's in between these trees with a cart drawing at the back. He's tied with ropes. But he's been tied with ropes of what? Can anyone tie the Lord? But he's been tied, Prabhupada says, he's been tied by the love of the gopis. So we are trying to tie Lord Krishna. We tie Lord Krishna by love through the practice of devotional service. Like Archita Prabhu was telling me, and another senior Vaishnava was informing me, do you think we are capable of giving service or giving anything to Krishna? Do we think we are qualified to give anything to Krishna? However, for our benefit as the Chaitanya Guru, he is accepting our service. And the spiritual master, when Srila Prabhupada was present on this planet, Srila Prabhupada gave a lot of initiations. Srila Prabhupada gave a lot of sannyas, although they were not qualified. But he was in the mood of para dukkha dukki. He was in the mood of the ever well wisher. He knew they were not qualified. They could not even serve Prabhupada rightly. What to speak of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They could not even serve the spiritual master. But Prabhupada accepted it. Why? For our benefit. So the reason I'm bringing and emphasizing on this is because Nalakuvar and Managirif, they represent what? We spoke about, they represent what? I'm sorry? Yes. They are representing pride. So we also have pride. Yes, I want to serve, but I want to serve under my terms. What does the Lord say? In his Shikshastakama prayers, the eighth stanza, you are my Lord unconditionally. Whether you embrace me or you're not present before me, or you make me broken hearted, you are my Lord unconditionally. These are the one of the eight instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the question here is, do we have pride that is checking us from moving in our devotional life? From moving from one stage to another. Because in the Gita, you know, the Lord says many times that anger and pride are the all-devouring enemies that we need to conquer. How do we conquer them? We conquer them through devotional service. But if your devotional service has pride in front of it, then it is checking your devotional life. And we can see that in the example of Srila Prabhupada Sanacharya. He never had any pride. You look at Prabhupada being offered by all the devotees ghee lamps, or being done Vyas Puja offerings. You see Prabhupada's mood. Do you see any pride in Srila Prabhupada that I'm having 100 or 200 devotees washing my feet? So that is an acharya. Because there is no pride. So I wanted to emphasize on this point. There is a lot of points that Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, but because of sake of time, I wanted to end with this, that we should really be very introspective about our devotional life and be very careful with this element of pride. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any suggestions, any comments? Archita Prabhu.
Arjapati Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. There are a lot of points that you could hold a seminar on. But I just wanted to touch on that one point you brought up about accepting Prabhupada's purports. It's so important to have the proper intention. A lot of neophyte devotees don't. I'll give you an example. The argument they use is this. They come to me all the time. Prabhupada said, don't be a blind follower. So, therefore I can't accept everything he sells blindly. But that's not what that means. It means that when you approach a guru, the guru is supposed to evaluate the prospective disciple and vice versa. But once you accept that, once that relationship is cemented, you're not supposed to edit your guru and, you know, question everything he says. Then you have not accepted a guru. That's not what guru means. Guru means, if the guru tells you that a rope is a snake, then you say you see a snake. If the guru tells you the snake is a rope, then you go and pick it up. That's guru-disciple relationship. Not that you're at every moment you're questioning everything the guru says. That means you put yourself above the guru as editor. I can edit my guru. He says something, I don't accept it because of this reason, that reason. He doesn't say something that I want him to say, then I get upset. And that's not a guru-disciple relationship. So, yes, don't be a blind follower. But once you have accepted that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, the designated representative of the Lord for this age to take everybody back to Godhead, then all of those questions go out the window when you're dealing with Prabhupada. Maybe you can question me, other people, you should. But Prabhupada, no. Prabhupada is the Jagat Guru, Morsenapati Bhakta. How can you question him? That means you put yourself above him, that you have more knowledge or more this or that, and you can see that he made a mistake here or there, he shouldn't have said that, and why did he say this? You're putting yourself in a position higher than Prabhupada. That's ludicrous.
You know, actually, Archita Prabhu brings a very great point, because I was reading about Tamal Krishna Maharaj. We all know that we just had the disappearance day of Tamal Krishna Maharaj just a few days ago. I was reading, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I was reading, if Srila Prabhupada told him it is night and it was broad daylight, he will take it is night. This is a pure devotee. If Tamal Krishna was instructed by Srila Prabhupada that it's night outside, not that Srila Prabhupada told him that, but in case he told him it's night and I can see through the window, it's daylight, I will accept it. So just to allude more to what Archita Prabhu is saying, we know that Srila Prabhupada is Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Why? In fact, to elaborate more on what Archita Prabhu says, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says what? Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi. Hi. How do we get the Siddhi? We get the Siddhi by association of a moment with the pure devotee of the Lord. And I am not a Prabhupada disciple, but if you hear Prabhupada disciples, just a moment has changed their lives. So where do you have the doubt that Srila Prabhupada is not a pure devotee? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kaya. Why we have that doubt? In a moment, your life has been changed. That can only be done by a pure devotee of the Lord.
Just to elaborate more, you know, on what Archita Prabhu is saying. Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you for a very nice class. A lot of wonderful insights and revelations that you've given. Is this on? Just to tag on to Archita's nice comment, is that we also should not give up the idea of what is referred to in that verse. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So the point that I want to make is submissive inquiry is, there's nothing, even if you're advanced, if you don't understand something from a spiritual master, it doesn't mean that if you want further understanding, you want clarification, that you can ask for clarification. You can. If Prabhupada wanted us to understand what he was saying, if you didn't understand it, he would re-explain it. And if you still didn't, again, he liked this, because it means the devotee was not just listening and just blindly spouting out what he had heard. But when a devotee actually gets the understanding and then he expresses the idea, it has much more potency, impact, and also the ability to persuade and convert when it comes, you know, from the heart and with understanding. So my main point is this, is that the devotee should not be afraid to ask for understanding and clarification. It is part of that surrender inquiry.
My understanding,
submissive inquiry, that's what it's
my
called.
Understanding, Maharaj, was just that the mood and the attitude in which it is asked should be in a passive and submissive level, not a challenge. You cannot go to Guru and start challenging Guru. What do you mean by this? You know, like in today's world, you know, we just... So, correct me if I'm wrong. I thought, you're exactly right. You know, that's why Srila Prabhupada wrote countless letters, gave so many lectures and questions, but the approach should be in a submissive way. Am I correct? Hare Krishna. Thank you for attention, my
Hare Krishna.
I'm glad you said that, but I wasn't saying that you shouldn't ask questions. This mood, see, some devotees have this mood that Prabhupada made mistakes. And I see the mistake, why did he say that, how could he say that?
That's a deeper understanding of what you're
talking about. Saying?
So I just wanted to bring it level below that.
Yeah. And that to me is so galling. Yeah. Who are they? That means they're putting themselves above Prabhupada. They've already made up their mind that he's wrong. They've made up their mind that he's wrong, and they want to tell him.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you.